Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Well, here's my question for you this morning in the next 20 minutes or so. Are you ready to emerge? Are you ready to come out? Are you ready to re-enter life? And that's what we're looking at this month. It's the lessons from lockdown, what to leave behind and what to bring with you. And we're looking at this thing because we've been locked down for a while, and whether you've been sort of shut down or isolated on your own, whether life has been continuing as normal and you've been sort of working more than perhaps you would have been, there's still been a really crazy, interesting, unique season in our world. And what that's done in our world is it's changed us. And an opportunity for change is always good. And how we can leverage off that and the lessons we can learn from that could actually change our life. So I was thinking and praying for this all, you know, when I was preparing for this series. God, what do you say about lockdown? What does your Bible have to tell us? Well, let's go in and have a look at a great big lockdown in the Bible. Last week, we looked at what it was like when a seed is planted in the soil and it has to be locked down before it can germinate. And that idea of that's where we're at the moment. It's like this seed, this thing that's in the soil. And maybe that's your life. Maybe that's the church. But it's a picture of what it's like when you shut things down. I'm telling you, God always brings new life and fresh growth out of that season. So I was thinking, Lord, what is that? And I was looking at the story of Ezra in the Old Testament. Now, let me give you a bit of background to this. In 586 BC, all of Jerusalem and Judah, the southern tribe of Israel, that were taken away into lockdown into a place called Babylon across the desert. In fact, the whole country was shut down, carted away, and prisoners and captives were taken over to another town, another place called Babylon. Now, they were there for 70 years. 70-year lockdown. Can you imagine that? And it wasn't that they were locked down and couldn't do anything. They were in prison. That they were just taken out of their normal context of life. They weren't in their usual town, their usual cities. The pattern of life that they normally had wasn't there anymore. They had to adjust and readjust to a new way of doing things. But then after 70 years, they got a chance to go back and resume their life. And that's this idea of emerging from lockdown. They had to rediscover what did God want for them now? What was this new season about now? What could they leave behind in Babylon? And what could they bring with them? Let's explore this amazing book. It's in Ezra. It's in the Old Testament. I'm going to summarize the whole book in this next 20 minutes. So good luck to me. What they learned after coming, this is 538 BC, we've kind of moved forward a little bit in time. They had to return, they had to rebuild, and they had to rededicate. And this is the frame of the book of Ezra. The first one they had to do is return. In Ezra 2 verse 1, it says this. It says, now these were the people of the province who came out of the captivity of the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried captive to Babylonia. The book actually lists down like all the families and the tribes and the people as they came through. And it sort of lists down all the key people returning and said, well, here's the list. They were good at counting people. They were good at keeping records, amazing records, like we need to keep in church soon, you know. But they were good at record keeping. And they listed them down and said, these were the people who'd carried away. And they, here's the point in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, they returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his own town. You imagine this. They've come back from being in prison, basically, and they've come back, and some of these people would never have been born. Do you think 70 years they've been away? There's a new generation coming back. There were older people who remembered what it was like, but a whole bunch of kids and grandkids coming back, and they had to return to places that had never been before. They went to their towns and their cities, and there wouldn't have been much left of them, by the way. A lot of them had been destroyed and killed, and suddenly they've got to go, well, this is my ancestral home, and somehow I've got to rebuild and return and rededicate and form life again back to our town. And I'm wondering what that is for us. What is it like to return to a normal life where there's traffic, where there's people in the shops, where schools are normal, where you can go to the dentist? And even though it sounds strange to say that, for so many of us, there's a fear attached to that. You mean I'm allowed to go out? Or, you know, we've been so conditioned to social distancing and you know, keeping away from places that now we've turned a page and we can do it, and there's an adjustment that's got to take place. So the question is here, what did they bring? Back in this time, do you know what? An incredible thing happened. The king, not Jerusalem king, but the king of Persia said, you can go back and actually we'll give you all of this gold and all the things that you need for worship. Go back and build again. And so what they did, they carted back all these good things with them, gold, silver, and articles for their temple and for their worship. And that was what they brought back with them. And I'm wondering, what is that for you? Are you bringing back, is it employment, returning to your jobs? Is it sports and recreation? Is it live church? Can't you wait to get back to live church? Is it just that sense of normality? Is it now you can have people in your home again? From yesterday, it's 20 people. You can have a party in your house in New South Wales. And we've been doing that. We've been getting people into our home again. And suddenly, there's a sense of, I can bring back these things into my life. And they're good things. They're good things to re-employ. And maybe there's lessons that you've learned that you want to bring back in. For me, it's somehow a slower pace of life to have a more regular rhythm of life. Maybe there's some gold that you want to bring from lockdown that you're desperate to keep a hold of. These are the good things, the blessings. But they also left behind the bad things. Because let's face it, they were in Babylon because they didn't follow God's ways. That was the reason why God took them out as a wake-up call. Said, hey, if you want to live a good and blessed and wholesome life, then you've got to change. And that was the point of this exile. And as they came back, you can imagine that they're wanting to leave behind old ways, leave behind, you know, the things that didn't work, the ways that went against God's principles and ideals. And so when you return, what are you going to return with? What are you going to leave behind in lockdown, in Babylon? And what good things are you going to bring with you into this next season, and to be intentional about it and to be selective about the things that maybe you leave and maybe you bring? That's what happened in Ezra's time. But it wasn't enough just to return. They had to rebuild. Because when they returned, let's face it, their country was a mess. The temple was burnt and destroyed, rubble. Their cities and their walls were knocked down. And so it's not good enough just to return to life and just try and carry on. No. So many people actually have to rebuild their lives. And maybe that's you this morning. You're feeling like, I've lost everything. You know, I've lost my job. I've lost all this around me. Families, and I've been isolated, and you actually have to intentionally rebuild your world in this new season. Well, the first thing that the Jews did when they returned to Jerusalem, this is beautiful, they rebuilt a place of worship. That was the first thing. In Ezra 3 verse 2, then arose Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and with his fellow priests and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, with his kinsmen, and they built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as is written in the law of Moses. They built a place for worship. It wasn't the full temple. It was what they called the altar, a place where they could come and bring their offerings. They bring their sacrifices, bring the things as an act of worship. And you know what? Before they even did this, they took up an offering to build the place for offerings. They were so committed to, we want to do this right again. We want to make sure that it's good and we reinstate. It's the very first thing that they did was to reinstate worship and the ritual and the sacrifices as they practiced back in those times. But it wasn't just the place of worship and it was the actual practice of worship. And there was a great celebration in Ezra 3 verse 10. When the builders laid the foundations of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals. They're getting the band back together, and they're praising the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. And this is what they sang. They said this, "For he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever towards Israel." And all the people shouted with a great salvation. And when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Look, this is a phenomenal scripture. They reinstituted worship with the band, with music, song, not just home alone on their phones, but live worship. They're full, they're together, and they shouted. This would have been a noisy celebration, shouting thanksgiving, because why? Because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. I get so excited when I think that we're just in that same zone as a church where the foundation, more than the foundation, is ready and it's just waiting for people and a tick from the government. But this course, great celebration. Are you ready for a party? Are you ready to celebrate the goodness of God? Post-COVID, post-lockdown, new place of worship. I'm telling you, there's going to be fresh shoots of worship. There's going to be people, maybe it's you, who just feel like I've been dragging myself through the season, but there's something inside of me. It's like a seed that's shut down and locked in, but it's ready to flourish. There's things in me that have been closed in, but I'm telling you, they're about to explode in praise, thanksgiving. This is such an exciting season ahead. Look out. However, they had opposition. While this was a great celebration, all these things were happening, the original people of the land were giving them a really hard time. They'd opposed them at every level. They'd pull down the walls that they'd try and put up. You know, they'd stop them making bricks. And it was crazy. They had opposition. It says in Ezra 4, verse 4 to 5, that the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build and bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purposes all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. They discouraged the people of Israel from rebuilding. There's opposition. And I'm telling you, you'll also face opposition as you return. It's just part of the world that we live in. And maybe there's going to be some opposition from people around you, maybe even your family. Why are you going back to church? Oh, I wouldn't do that. Just stay at home, you know. Why would you give, Rosemary? Like, that's ridiculous. Why would I give 10% of my income? That's a lot of money. What, you know, you don't need to do that. Just why would you need to bring offerings? And you know, there's going to be some voices around you, maybe even in your own head, thinking, this church thing, there's going to be opposition, but make a commitment to not just return, but to rebuild. And maybe even rebuild your whole walk with God, your whole work, and make a commitment to come back into the house of God and to flourish in the house of God, as the Psalms say. What is in your world that needs rebuilding? Your physical world, your practical world, your relationship world. What is it that you intentionally need to dedicate under God's direction? And so they returned, they rebuilt, and then they rededicated. This is chapter 6 to 10. I'm taking a huge chunk of scripture here. It's a great story. Take some time to read Ezra. It'll take you half an hour maybe. But what a celebration of God's bringing back. But in Ezra 6 verse 15, once they had rebuilt, it says, "This house was finished on the third day of the month." They finished it. It was done. and in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the people of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the returned exiles celebrated the dedication of house with the God with joy. Party. What a great celebration. They honestly thought that they'd never come back from lockdown. They thought that they'd be stuck in Babylon. They couldn't foresee a time when they'd be returned to their own land that God had given them. But now not only had they returned, they'd rebuilt this temple. And now was a time of dedication, rededication of their lives to the things of God. And in verse 17, they offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs. This is noisy and messy, Old Testament worship. And 12 male goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. They brought in a mighty offering to open up this building and to celebrate with this great feast and celebration. And so they rededicated this building, this physical building, the temple of God, through acts of sacrifice and worship. But not only that, it's not just the building that they dedicated, but it was their lives that they rededicated. That actually, during this time when they came back, they actually started to do things already that weren't quite right according to God's ways. They started to marry the people of the land that God had specifically told them, hey, don't intermarry with these people. It was an Old Testament thing. It was specifically for this time. But they'd gone against God's principles. And what they did was a great time of actually undoing that and getting it right again. And even if that sense of rededicating their lives, not just a building, but coming before God and saying, I want a fresh start, God. I want to build my life, not just a building. And that is very much the season that we're entering into. And my question for you this morning, as we think about those things, to return and rebuild and rededicate. My question really is, what if you could have a fresh go at life? What would that look like to you? What would it be like to start again? What an opportunity we have right now. Do you know, in the COVID season, Ro and I and our kids, we had a fresh go at one of the rooms in our house. The front room of our house is a lounge room. 13 and a half years ago, we bought this house and we actually started the church in this room. And I don't know, it would be countless thousands of people through this room. And the amount of people and prayer meetings and team meetings, and it was a lot of fun, youth meetings. But you know, this room got a little tired. The carpet was worn. The carpet was smelly. It had burn marks from the fire. The walls were grubby. It was cream. The roof was cream. The carpet was cream. I was cream. You know, and we looked at this thing and we thought, you know what? We don't really like this room anymore. It needs a fresh go. It needs a lockdown. It needs to start again. And do you know what we did? We pulled everything out. I mean the grand piano. I mean everything. I mean the books, the curtains, the floor. We ripped up the carpet. We pulled out books and pictures and we pulled everything out and we repainted. Operation Get Rid of Kill Cream. And we painted it the color that we wanted to. And then we started to pull back things only that we wanted in that room. It was a fresh start. It was a fresh go. And we did it differently. And now I sit in that room, I think, oh, it's like I've started again. And it makes me feel good. I just wonder, that's so much true of our hearts, isn't it? Over the years, people have walked through our hearts and left traces. Sometimes it gets dirty and sometimes you can't clean it. And sometimes you fill your life, like we're so good at filling our lives with things. We take on more and more and more, and we take on people's opinions. We take on stuff and possessions and thoughts and ideologies. And sometimes you just need to clear out to have a fresh go. Sometimes you need to say, enough, I'm ripping that carpet up. Let's do it. That's lockdown. And I know we're not alone. So many people have been to Bunnings, have been painting. So many people have used this time to do exactly the same thing. But what would it be like if you did that inside, in your heart? What would you leave behind? And what would you put back in there intentionally? And it's my encouragement at this moment to have a rededication of your heart to God. Because the next season is wonderful. The next season is full of promise and full of hope. The next season has so much promise, but you've got to start with an uncluttered heart.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.